Good morning. All your kids will be there. I am a man who experiences a lot of fear. I'm not ashamed to say that, because there's a lot to be afraid of in this world, is there not? I mean, if you turn on the news, you see all sorts of strange things, and they're all unprecedented. That's the word they use. It seems like the world is crumbling and burning, and the economy is always about to crash, and there's bad people everywhere doing bad things to good people, which I count myself one of. It's a scary world. There's a lot to be afraid of. On top of that, I have a job where at any time, for any reason, about a third of the people in this room can get together and say, we don't like Pastor Steve, let's vote him out. Yet, my job is to come up here and tell you that you're all bad people and you need Jesus. All right? It seems like it's going to end poorly. There's a lot to be afraid of. It doesn't matter what job I've had. There was always something to be afraid of. There was always a reason I could screw up. Somehow I could mess up, or my boss couldn't like me, or somebody could say something bad about me. Something could happen and my whole world could crash. How do you live life when there's so much to be afraid of? How do you go out your front door? Do you go out your front door? Couch is pretty comfortable. TV is right there. It goes on 24/7. I can watch anything I want. How do you face life when there is so much to be afraid of? I want you to turn with me to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. And this psalm is going to tell us that we can face life no matter the fears, because we serve a warrior God who protects and defends us no matter what. Psalm 91. I'd like to read the first couple of sections, and then we're going to take it just passage by passage. Psalm 91. If you're new here, just open that Bible to right about the center. You're going to be really close. Psalm 91. It says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. Let's just break it down. Verses 1 and 2, they kind of give a summary of what this psalm is all about. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. When we are close to God, we are far from trouble. We are out of reach of the world's evils when we are in God's arms. It says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High. One thing that we have to be very careful of is not to overestimate the righteousness of your zip code, where you live, all right? Now, I'm not talking about your actual zip code, but your lifestyle and your life. See, sometimes we overestimate where we are in life. We think of ourselves and see ourselves through rose-colored glasses, which don't give us a real picture of where we are, who we are, and where we stand before a holy God. When we were in Texas, we were moving. We were going from Dallas to Greenville, which was where the church that we served at was, and we wanted to be closer there. And we had a hard time finding a place with the rent that we could afford. Have you experienced that a little bit? Amen. Yeah, we were searching online, you know, asking people around, looking for apartments and everything. We had a baby coming. We knew there was going to be another one coming soon. Everything that we were looking at was either not big enough or wasn't quite right. And finally, we found some place that was right in that budget zone that we were looking at. And the house looked decent, and so we said, okay, we'll go ahead and we'll drive out there, and this will be good. And I don't know if you remember this, Missy, and the house didn't look too bad, but the houses around it, they said something else. That was not the place where I was about to raise my kids. It was, there was about a, you know, three-block area in this city where you really didn't want to live, and that house was right in the middle of it. So things kind of looked good at first, but then you look around and you realize something's not right. See, some people think they are dwelling with God because they are going to church. The opposite can be true too. You could go into a nice neighborhood and with beautiful houses all around, and you can find a house that is just worn out or looks good on the outside, but its foundation is crumbling and its bones are cracking. A lot of people think that they are dwelling with God because they are going to church, all right? And that's a dangerous thought to have. When you're expecting God to be your protection, when you think you're close with God, and then you think he's going to take care of you and deliver you, but all you're doing is putting on a show. All you're doing is going through the motions. The nearer you are to God, the farther you are from harm. It says you will dwell in the shadow of the Almighty. Think about that. You have to be pretty close to somebody to be in their shadow, right? It's talking about proximity to God. You will say that the Lord is my refuge and fortress. Another mistake that we make is we think that if God is going to be our deliverer, that we're not going to face trouble. That's not what this passage is saying. You get that in your head right at the beginning, because we're going to go through this. And we have to understand that God is not claiming to deliver us from all hardship, all right, to keep us out of anything that's uncomfortable. He says, you're going to be my refuge. What's a refuge? A refuge is a place where you go when things are bad, right? A fortress is a place you go when you expect somebody's going to attack you and be in a fight. Right? But God is not saying, I'm gonna deliver you from all evil. I'm going to deliver you from all hardship. He's saying, I'm going to get you through hardship. And in the midst of the hardship, you will find me as a safe and a solid place to be. Before we keep going through this psalm, I want to just invite you to take a moment of honest evaluation. It's true of any church, I think, but it's certainly in a church of this size. There are people here who have just been going to church, or maybe you're going through the motions. One of the songs that the teens have introduced me to, it has a line that says, churches are full of members, but empty of conversions. It's not uncommon to see churches, small churches, where we were in Texas, all throughout the South, and probably up here too, that have 300 members on their member board, but only 100, 125 people come into church to hear God's word. So take an honest moment of evaluation. What is your relationship with God? What is your real, honest, day in, day out relationship with your Creator? Do you talk to Him only on Sundays and then forget that He exists throughout the week? Are you in prayer? Are you in His word? Are you acknowledging Him, thinking about Him? Are you relying on Him before you make decisions? Be honest when you are evaluating your spiritual zip code. But if we are dwelling with Him, there is nothing we need to fear. Look at verse 3. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare, from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. God protects those who dwell with him from all possible fears. Whether real or imagined, God is bigger. The psalmist says several things, and when they go through these lists of things like this, it's fun to kind of break them down, try to understand what he's saying, because each of them have a little bit of a nuance, or they're building on each other. So he talks about the fowler's snare, and that's, if you don't know what that is, that's a trap to catch birds, okay? And we don't use those anymore because we discovered shotguns, but back in the day, they had these wonderful nets and traps and things that you could catch birds in. And there's a lot of really interesting research I'd love to share with you, but I'm not going to do that. But he says, those things that you can't see when you think something is safe, when you're a bird and you're just flying around, oh, there might be some food down there, I think I'm going to land. And then you realize, oh no, somebody had set a trap for me. I didn't realize somebody was against me. And now I'm caught. You got somebody at work who doesn't like you, somebody who schemes against you, maybe a boss that just is waiting for you to make a mistake. Don't be afraid. Deadly pestilence. Later it talks about pestilence in darkness. It also mentions a plague. What's interesting about that is that it's a Hebrew name for a demon, but a plague during noontime that just decimates and destroys. These things that you cannot see, and think about as an ancient person reading this text, they didn't understand germs. They didn't really know about washing your hands, right? They didn't know why these sicknesses happened. They just saw people all of a sudden get sick and die, and there was really not much they can do. It's one of the biggest fears that they could have had at that time, because it's the ultimate helpless situation. There is nothing they could do. They didn't even understand this invisible thing that was coming through and killing people. Things that you cannot see, but you know are there, and you just have to wait. You're just waiting for it to get you. It says the terror of night, danger that you cannot see. Traveling in this time was very difficult. It wasn't like finding a Holiday Inn after a long day and getting McDonald's, right? It was you going miles and miles in the desert, and you brought your tent, and you brought your food, and you didn't know behind every little twist and turn and narrow place, there might be a robber who is ready to kill you for whatever you had on your back. Things that you cannot see. You don't even know if they're out there. But imagine being in that position and just wondering if every little, you know, rustle in the bushes was somebody, some robber out to get you. Don't be afraid. God is bigger. The terror by night, the arrow by day, things that you can see, danger that is coming at you, but there's not much you can do about it but hide. You can't reach it. You can't attack it. You can't face it. All you can do is try to get out of the way. God is bigger. Things that we cannot control, God can. So how do we not fear these things? It says earlier, it says that God will cover you with his feathers. Now, this is an expression that's used all throughout the Bible, and I don't think any of us use anything like this expression today. So we have to kind of transport our minds back. Now, every once in a while, I get to do research for a sermon by watching a lot of YouTube videos. All right, those are good weeks. I watched about 30 minutes of bird videos to try to understand this, because I'm not a bird person. All right, but what I've found, and what the people who grew up going outside every day and experiencing nature and learning about God through what they saw, is that if there's a danger, a mother bird. Now there's some bad mom birds out there too, is what I saw in some of those videos. But what he's talking about here is a good mother bird, if she senses danger, will cover up her chicks. She'll just spread out her wings and she'll just cover them up like that, so that literally everything she has will be stretched out. And if there's any danger that comes, it's going to hit her instead of her babies. All right, that's a picture I think of any good mom or dad. And I've even heard stories about mother hens who, when there was a fire in the chicken coop, would come in and cover up her baby chicks. And a farmer went out there to the chicken coop, and he saw this kind of fried chicken-looking thing just sitting there. And he tipped it over, and then outran these baby chicks because the babies were protected from harm. I heard that from an old timer. I don't know if it's true, but it's a great illustration of what can happen and what any good mom or dad would do for their children, right? That I will take whatever the flame, whatever the fire, whatever the hurt. That's what it's saying God is going to do. And what's amazing is you can follow that. Jesus talks about himself as a mother hen. Paul talks about himself as a mother hen. He's saying, God is always saying, I would rather take the pain and the hurt on myself than let it hurt you. But what it takes is proximity and relationship. See, the mother hen does it for her chicks. She doesn't go out and grab a bunch of other chicks she doesn't know about. All right? And the chicks have to be, what? Close to mama to get that protection. Your closeness to God is going to maximize your protection. It's going to ensure your protection from whatever hurt is coming from the outside. I mean, they have to get right up under her wings to do that. All throughout the Bible, you see this. And then it says, God will be my shield and my rampart. Now, again, God is not going to always just deliver us and take us out of hard times. Sometimes he's going to deliver us through a battle. You know what shields are for? They're for fighting. They're for getting, you know, just hit really hard with really sharp objects. God says, sometimes you're going to need that, but I'm going to be that for you, and I'm never going to fail. I'm going to be your rampart. That's a fancy word for a wall, right? And when the enemy comes and they hit that wall with everything they got, that's going to be me, and I am going to still support you. I'm not going to crumble. This is how God describes himself to us in his word. He says, you will see, no matter 10,000 fall, no matter 1,000, all these people fall over here, people falling over there, and I will be with you, and you will be protected. You'll only see the enemies of God fall. My 2-year-old got scared recently. I don't even remember what it was. We were outside, and she got scared by something. And she did what every 2-year-old does when daddy's around. It's just one of those things that, again, makes you feel like a superhero, right? She runs to daddy, and she gets behind one of these tree trunks here, and she just holds on to daddy, and then she does this. And I like to narrate in my head, you know, what they're thinking. And I could just picture her saying, you're in trouble now. Like, what's going to happen? You're going to regret messing with me. It was something so silly. I don't even remember what it was. But that's what God is saying. I'm going to be your protector, and all you're going to see is me taking vengeance on your enemies. When you're close to God, you're far from harm. Now, what do we do with this passage? Right? We've just been through a plague. We've just been through a deadly pestilence. And it was 4 years ago, if you can believe that, that this whole thing kicked off. But we're still feeling the effects of it, right? And some of us still haven't gotten over it. Some of us have lost incredible people that we love because of it. This is what the Bible class, or this is what we classify in the Bible as wisdom literature. Wisdom literature, like the Psalms, like Proverbs, these things are not giving you absolutes. All right, what it's not saying is that every time, no matter what, if you check these boxes, then nothing bad will happen to you. All right, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more in a little bit. As an example, we're going to see Jesus, who actually is featured in this psalm. But these wisdom passages tell us how to face evil. They tell us how to think about the world that gives us so many things to be afraid of. All right, one thing I noticed when we went through COVID, Christians weren't uniquely protected against COVID. I know some of you lost loved ones. I think we all probably can think of a name or two that died earlier than they should have because of this disease. But one thing that I did notice is that Christians were uniquely able to cope with how evil things can happen in this world and how you can face evil things even when they might kill you. Because Christians have to reconcile a few things. In fact, if you believe in Jesus and just look at his story alone, you have to look at a few realities. That God is sovereign and in control of all things. That God loves you so intensely and so passionately that you don't even have the slightest ability to comprehend it. And that God, in his sovereignty, allows bad things to happen in this world. He even allowed his own son to be betrayed, tortured, and murdered. Why did he do that? Because there's sin in this world. And sin needs to be faced. It needs to be taken care of. It needs to be conquered. And so the person who was closest to God went through the greatest evil. And the world killed the Son of God because bad things happened. God could have stopped it instantly, but he allowed it to happen. So Christians have to understand this. If we were better, I just saw in my own personal experience, it seemed like Christians were able to cope. Yeah, this is a terrible thing that we're going through. Yeah, it's a horrible thing. It's tragic. But you know what? At the end of it, I know that even if God allows the worst to happen to me, even if I die, yet shall I live. And once again, I'm going to see those loved ones that I lost. I'm going to see those people that I know and I love and I care about in heaven one day, in the resurrection one day. That's not some pie-in-the-sky fantasy. I'm going to walk and I'm going to talk and I'm going to laugh with those people I love so much that I had to watch go earlier than they needed to. That doesn't mean we don't feel fear. It means that in the midst of fear, we do not allow fear to control us. We don't allow fear to make the decisions that we need to make. Usually, when we're afraid, the only way that we can make the fear go away is to face it. Now, that's not what we do naturally. When we're afraid, typically we face our phone, or we face the television, or we face the whiskey bottle, or we face whatever in that temporary moment will make us feel less fear, will make us feel not better, but feel nothing, right? And we just try to run away from fear. God says, you don't have to run from fear. You don't have to let fear control you. In fact, I will be with you in the battle. Now you can face fear. And really, the only way to make your fears go away is to constantly and consistently face them, take steps toward them, take steps toward that source of fear, and handle it. And God will be with you. It's not a call to be reckless, but confident and sober-minded. Look at verse 9 through 13. He says, if you say, the Lord is my refuge, and if you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. This passage says, God is going to provide angelic protection to the highest degree. I mean, we would call this invincibility. If you're playing a video game, for my teens out there, usually there's a cheat that is called or is referred to as God mode, where you can just go anywhere, do anything, and nothing bad can ever hurt. That's exactly what he's saying here. You won't be hurt by a snake. I would love that protection. I would pay for that. Right? You won't stub your toe. You won't strike your foot against a stone. If this was written in today's language, it would say, you will walk through the living room and not step on a Lego. Right? Not even the littlest harm will come to you. You will trample lions. That sounds impressive. Now, you may recognize this scripture as the scripture that Satan used to tempt Jesus. He actually quoted this passage. Satan uses, by the way, the word of God in his temptations because he's no dummy. So how do we handle what do we do with this? Excuse me. How do we handle this passage that says, you will have invincibility? Nothing bad will ever happen to you. Well, again, let's think about this. This is wisdom literature. This is not telling us to try to be reckless. I mean, if this gave you superpowers, like it kind of sounds like it does, what's the first thing you would do? The first thing I would do, because I'm not very smart either, is I would jump off a building, right? That would be so cool, to jump off a building and not get hurt, right? That would be a sweet ride. I used to love going to Cedar Point. You know, maybe I'd go to Cedar Point with the problems they've been having. That's risky enough. But I would jump off a building, and that's exactly what Satan tempted Jesus to do. He says, his angels will protect you. You won't even strike your foot on a stone, right? What did Jesus do in response? He says, you shall not test the Lord your God. This passage doesn't call us to test God, but to trust God. And that's what he did. And he didn't rely on this passage to not be harmed in life. In fact, throughout his life, he suffered over and over again until he was betrayed by his closest friends. Till he was taken and whipped and beaten till the flesh was torn off of his back, nailed to a cross unjustly, being mocked and scorned by the people who would pass by him, able to stop it the entire time. And this passage was written about Jesus. It applies to him more than any of us. Who is closer to God than Jesus? But Jesus completed the idea of this passage. This passage tells us to trust God because he is able to take us through anything that we're afraid of. He is able to protect us and will sustain us through any hurt that this life can throw at us. Yet, we should be willing to walk through suffering, to walk through pain and injustice, because sin has to be faced and it has to be conquered. So Jesus is really the other side of this psalm. He completed the psalm that God started in the Old Testament, that we can believe in a warrior God who will protect us, but I am willing, if it's his will, to walk through the hardest things in life because I know at the end of it, even though I die and go to the grave, like Jesus, I will come back out again. I have nothing to fear, even the worst that this life can throw at me. God will save us if we trust him. That's what verse 14 to 16 concludes saying. He will call on me. I'm sorry. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. See, God's salvation, even in the Old Testament, was a result of our love for him, not our actions. There's no requirement except for a loving and trusting relationship. Now, this psalm turns a little bit. Before, it was somebody who was writing about God, and now he's writing for God. This is God speaking in the first person there. It says, because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. God is looking for our love, which is more than affection. It's not just an emotional experience that I had at church once. It's a trusting relationship that endures day after day after day. He says, if he calls on my name, if he trusts me in the time of trouble. Now I want you to think about who you call in the time of trouble. You might call, if something bad happens, you might call a lawyer. You might call a tow truck. You might call a doctor. You might call an accountant. You might call a hitman, depending on what the trouble is, right? Call on God first. That's what it means to be in a loving relationship. No matter who I need to talk to on earth, my first call is going to be to my Father in heaven who delivers me. If you want to take a measurement of where your trust in the Lord is, just look at what you do when bad things happen. Do you immediately go into, I'm going to fix this? I'm going to solve this. I'm going to use my brains and my muscles and my connections and my money or whatever I have at my disposal, and I will take care of this? Or do you take a moment and you acknowledge the God of the universe who is going through it with you and who promised to be your shield and your protector, and then go through all of those other steps? We are going through, accomplishing a very simple task probably a year or so ago with one of the elders here. It was something that I did not need divine help doing. Let's just put it that way. It was a very easy thing to do. And so I start to get everything together, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to put these things up that I have to do. And it was something that was new, and we hadn't done before. And one of our elders just stopped and said, you know what? I know this is easy, but can we just ask God's blessing on this, that everything just goes appropriately and everything goes well? And I looked at him, and I thought, that's a life that has been lived constantly for decades in the shelter of the Most High. Where I know I can do this. I don't need an angel to fly me to do these things that I need to do. But you know what? I want to do it well. And I should acknowledge that the Lord of all creation is going through this life with me, staying with me, and giving me everything I need to accomplish, even the simple tasks. That's the number one measurement of where your life is, where your spiritual zip code is, how close you are to the Lord. Do you see him just on Sundays? Or do you know that he's walking with you day after day? Do you have that relationship with him? He says, I will deliver them and I will honor them. And this is just, when you really think about this, it should blow your mind. All right? I'll be with him in the time of trouble. I will deliver him and I will honor him. There is nobody on earth that God needs to honor. God does not owe any of us any honor or any respect. Amen? But if you remember, the very first person who was killed for his faith in Jesus, the first martyr, Stephen, he's being stoned, and the book of Acts opens up, and it tells us something that is just incredible. It says he looked up, and he saw Jesus sitting in heaven, and Jesus was standing. And that might be something that you just read over, but Jesus had a throne to sit on. All right, so Jesus stood to his feet in honor of Stephen, who was dying for Jesus. Jesus was honoring him and welcoming him into heaven and showing him. It's kind of like we do a standing ovation for people we want to especially honor. Jesus rose to his feet. Can you imagine living a life that is so in tune with the Lord and does such great things that God himself stands to his feet to show honor and respect when you enter into heaven? I can think of nothing greater. In fact, this morning, I was just on social media and I read a story about two missionaries in Haiti. And they were, in their 20s, young 20s. They had been attacked by a gang. Their compound had been attacked and they escaped and got out and called the girl's father and were trying to get to the U.S. Embassy and were on the phone with her dad when this gang caught up with them and killed both of them. And their bodies are safe at the U.S. Embassy. This just happened from what I can understand. But they were killed because of what they were doing for Jesus. And it's just discouraging and just disheartening. And I read that and I'm supposed to preach on God as our protector. And I remember that passage in Revelation, and I didn't even look it up. I wasn't sure I was going to bring it up today. But it says that those who were killed for their faith, they're dressed in white robes. They're given a special place in heaven. At the end of everything, the front row seats to God, the people who are honored and closest to Jesus are those who have given their lives and shed their blood for Christ. And the hope and the joy that you can have in the midst of death. And they knew that going down there. You have to. If you're a missionary, you're going overseas, you're going to dangerous places for Jesus. You have to know that I might die for this, but you know what? God promises that one day I'm going to have an honor that is greater than anything that I can achieve in this world. And they're going to be honored in heaven forever and ever because of the sacrifice that they made, so that even in their death, they can call God their protector, their refuge, their fortress. We do not have to fear anything in this life. So when you have fear, and I'm going to go out on a limb and say that you do, when you experience fear, whether it's fear at work, whether it's fear of this world or this country or things being chaotic and crumbling, this psalm tells us how to think and how to face life. It says, go out and face it. It's a psalm that we say before we go into battle. It's a psalm that pumps you up and puts your mind in the right perspective. All right? When the fear says, just stay in your house, just avoid the situation, stay away from that person, don't bring that up, it's going to be complicated. When fear says, run away and cower and hide, God says, I will be with you. I will be your shield. I will be your fortress. I will be a mother hen wrapping my wings around you. I am a God who is bigger than anything this world can throw at you. No harm will come to you. And then follow Jesus towards sin, advancing, conquering, knowing that even if death were to take you, that is not enough to overpower God. Because even when it looked like evil had won, and God's promises were all void and nullified, Jesus got back up out of that grave. But it starts with your relationship with Him. I will dwell with the Most High. I will trust His name. And Jesus said that all of those who trusted in Him, trusted in His name. What does that mean? It means that you're a bad person and you need Jesus. You have sin. You're not just somebody who can come to church and live a good life. All right? I don't care if you grew up in this church, if you grew up going to a Catholic church or some other church, and you did all the things that they told you to do and you checked all the boxes you were supposed to check. Listen, there's a lot of good box checkers out there. But if your heart and your mind isn't sold out, it isn't given over to Jesus, all of that's worth nothing. To trust that He died on the cross for your sins, to turn away from that lifestyle, and to follow Him because He is worthy, so much so that He rose from the dead. And to believe that that truth, that reality, can deliver you from all the bad things that you've done, that can change you. So you follow Him because you know that He is so much better than what the world has to offer. And you might follow Him all the way to the cross, you might follow Him all the way to the grave, but you're going to follow Him out of it too. And that's the great hope of our warrior God who can protect us. Even in the midst of death, 10,000 fall on our right hand, and you will only see the punishment of the wicked. Trust God, face the things you're afraid of, face evil and conquer it like Jesus did. And even if the worst happens to you, you will get back up. Let's pray together. Our Father, we just thank You so much for the courage that we can have in You, for the confidence that we can have to go out and face whatever this world can throw at us, knowing that You love us, that You are with us. And even though we're going to be in battles, even though we're going to be in the midst of plagues and epidemics and evil and scary things that we don't even know about, God, we don't have to shrink back in fear. We can press on. Even though, Lord, there are people who would rather see us dead than living for Jesus and proclaiming this truth. God, You protect us. Even in death, You protect us. So that we can say confidently, sin, where is Your victory? Grave, where is Your sting? Lord, help us to remember always that You're with us, that You are caring for us. Give us the confidence to face this world and to overcome sin in our lives, in our culture, in our society. God, let us be agents of change that draws others to Jesus. We pray this in his name.